not going to do any more weather forecasts because every second I spend on the weather forecast is one less I get to spend with our guest, Pat Hazel, this morning. Morning, Pat.
Good morning. I'm on with the Tom Miller.
Tom Miller.
Well, the D is what separates you from the others.
I'm thinking it does, especially the ones that are on the wanted list.
I love when a guy has to have his name and then call letters of a station, like, Wolf Blitzer, CNN, the Pentagon. they tell you who they are, where they're at, what they're doing.
That
never happens when it's not Tom Deason or JCPenney, the shoe department.
No, it never does. Hey, Pat, here's the weird thing. I was watching some of your show on YouTube, The Wonder Bread Years, which is going to be tomorrow night at the Marion Cultural and Civic Center. You're going to love the room, by the way.
And I'm excited about it.
And so not long ago, I was sitting with a business owner who makes chocolate. It's literally called the Chocolate Factory. And they were talking about how to create business. And I said, well, what do you think you sell? Well, we sell chocolate. I said, no, you don't. You sell happiness.
Right.
You make chocolate, but you sell happiness. And that was the exact vibe I got watching portions of your show. You're selling happiness. It's not nostalgia. It's the source of it, but happy and warm and a sense of joviality that a lot of times everything's got this dark shadow with some component in it. Now, yours was sheer joy for me.
Well, that is very kind, and it is funny because I do frame it that way internally. Like, I don't tell people, but comfort is what I'm selling. The premise, the Wonder Bread Years, is more about our sense of wonder, where we lost it and how we get it back, right? So when people say, what business are you in? Are you in the theater business? I said, no, really, I'm in real estate because I rent seats for comfort, right? Like, you come to the show for 2 hours of escape from what's going on in the rest of the world, right? So it is a really fun thing to be able to laugh together and to realize we have a sense of community and humanity. And, that sounds lofty, but the bottom line is with the news and politics and stock dropping and hurricanes, we really do have to find a place. An antidote, I guess, against it sometimes.
I tell people here on the show, and I've said it multiple times on the air, there's nothing more serious than humor.
Right. That's funny.
You can literally go out every day and look at something right now. And if you look, because I think there's a level of healthy, mentally healthy when it comes to shows like this. But, before we get too deep into this, you've got to go. I always plan ahead just like you do, even though I know you change your show.
I'll follow your lead wherever you're going.
You change your show a little bit every night, because you're out there looking at their faces. You know how to read people, and the reason why is because you can go all the way back to Mr. Johnny Carson, where you started, and then all the things, including being head writer for the Jerry Seinfeld show or the Seinfeld show, that you have been constantly honing your talents, because it's not like math. It's kind of ineffable. And you've been sharpening your edge.
You've got to tell my mom and my grandma and everybody who thinks I'm wasting my time. But I'll tell you what, Johnny Carson was a big influence. I grew up in Nebraska, and that was sort of the target. It was like, what an Olympian does to get to the Olympics. It was like, how do you get on that show with Johnny? How do you get the OK symbol to start your career off of? And then I lucked out along the way, meaning Jerry Seinfeld gave me a job and then sort of allowed me to express myself as a mechanic in his shop. And, all the while, things like this show, the Wonder Bread Years, were in my wheelhouse and, what I wanted to talk about. And I do love nostalgia for a lot of reasons, but mainly it's because it's got some heart attached to it, right? Like, I can tell stories about clackers and lawn jarts and whatever, and people actually hear parts of their own life coming forward. They're like, oh, I have a scar from that, or I, hit myself on the collarbone and lost them over a power line, and everyone goes, yeah, me too. So I like that connectivity. It doesn't really matter if you're 56 or you're 6, right? There's still a common denominator in there. That maybe that's not true from a math standpoint,
right.
but everybody can go back to a time when they were riding the bike with no hands,
Riding the joy that you got by having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Right. I mean, though, but that common denominator is really the magic. I mean, when you look now around the world and how, in the United States, just get the United States, how divisive we are, whether it's race or politics or immigration or tax reform, you go down the list, and these items like what you've created with the Wonder Bread years shows that we all have a commonality, and if we can start from there and grow out, we can do great and wonderful things. We really can.
It's absolutely true. And, you know, again, this is it's core is humanity, you know, and this is, again, it's kind of a extreme example. But when you see a movie like Saving Private Ryan, and there's a war sequences and it's brutal and whatever, you know, it doesn't touch you as much as the moment in the movie where one guy in one uniform faces a guy in another uniform and they have a bayonet and no bullets. And they realize it's another human being, right?
Right.
So that's the whole problem, I think, particularly with politics, is that, you know, people don't see themselves sitting down at the table with the other person, essentially breaking bread, right?
Right.
They go, they're the enemy, you know, and that's really a tough, it's getting tougher.
You know, one of the other items, my takeaway from you, going to a lot of shows over the years and watching what people do, because you talked about that when you come here, I'm selling the seat 2 hours of comfort. Well, you don't even get that at a U2 concert anymore because they're going to stop and give me a political diatribe, right? And I'm there because I'm trying to get away. I mean, in my job, I'm trying to get away from that, and here you are stuffing it down my face. I don't want that.
Right.
And you come into your show, you know, and here's the other thing, and whether people talk about this anymore, they bloody well should be, is that when I sat down and watched your excerpts from your show, I wasn't insulted. It wasn't filthy. Not that I don't like a dirty joke. I do. I'm a guy, right? I'm still got a 12-year-old right. in the locker room. It was clean,
it
and people
like,
don't appreciate how
like
hard that is.
When I did the family slideshow, right?
It did.
It sounds like that kind of hit a mark for you, right?
It did.
So what's interesting about that is that I pick slides. They're all my own family slides. They're kooky slides from road trips and worst Halloween costumes and Christmas morning and all that sort of stuff. But it's sort of crafted in a way that it's reflective of you at your grandma's house and all of those things. And so I really do want people to remember their trip to Colonial Williamsburg or whatever it is, because they have a picture like that in their album or their brother got that kind of a present. And I mean, that part to me, not only is it really fun to take people on that you know, guided tour back, but also it's a contagious experience. Because the simple mention of certain things, like by a show of hands, how many people have ever embezzled during a game of Monopoly? Everyone thinks they were the only one that did it, right? And then there's like this confessional moment, you know, and or the taste of baking chocolate, where we snuck it when we were alone in the kitchen and realized it was horrifyingly, you know, we just thought it was a
bitter
chocolate bar that nobody was guarding. And that's the part where the commonality comes out really quickly is people look around and go, oh, you know, I moved the little two-hole boat in Battleship. You know, if I was getting close to losing, I'd move that two-hole boat on my brother every time, you know.
I personally,
he did it to me.
Pat, I like the part where it's Christmas morning. We all remember that Christmas morning. We're caught on a certain level of unguarded in those photographs, and you point to the shutters in the back and say, look how dark it is. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and notice my mom has a glass of wine. I don't know how that was received in the family, but, you know, that was one of those moments where I'm going, yeah, I remember mom going, get back in bed!
Right. Well, and back then, cigarettes were really common household for different people. And, you know, and I remember my grandma say, you know, you all turned out just fine. You know, I'm sure they smoked when they were pregnant. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they weren't following the same rule. Or we didn't wear seatbelts. We were like sitting in the back window of an Oldsmobile, you know.
And Dad had a Budweiser.
We're overly cautious. Know? Like a kid sits down for a bowl of cereal, you've got to put a bike helmet on him, you know?
We do. Is it because we're unhappy now? Is that why we like nostalgia? Or is there some other component that maybe you can help me describe? Because I often think that I want to go back because I didn't have to talk about tax reform. I didn't have to talk about a state that didn't have 2 years in budgets. I mean, is that what generates that, or is there something else?
No, I don't think it is. There is a recipe, and I don't know that I have it completely figured out. But like a 20-year flashback or retrospective is usually pretty great because you've forgotten the horrifying things happening right around it, right? So, you know, that recipe that you make of your grandma's or the whatever that makes that flood back. But in addition to time, that distance, it also requires you to age because, you know, somebody 15 isn't going, oh, that was so much fun playing Pokemon 2 years ago, right? They don't, you need a little bit of distance from something, I guess, to look at it in a different way. But I do think it also, the older you get, the more concentrated it needs to be because we are surrounded by stuff and we carry cynicism and we hear a negative review about a movie and we tell other people as if we've seen it that it's bad, right? So we have a tendency not to really experience that moment. And now I think it's that we're overwhelmed with cell phones and emails and, you know, we're bombarded with, like, dealing with communication, whatever. So, you know, people don't take a nature walk without their cell phone. You know, they look down and they're checking their email. That's like taking a typewriter with you and a mailbox and a phone and a camera, like everything but looking up, right?
Right.
So I think that's what's happening is that there's an expectation that we have to respond immediately to a text. And, you know, we're just kind of, I think, on a bit of a treadmill. And not really appreciating the things. And you probably have, I don't know if you have kids or whatever, but you have moments in your life where you find yourself somewhere where you go, oh, I wish I had more of this.
Right.
A little more peace, a little more quiet, a chocolate shake, something where you go, oh, what happened to these, you know?
Right.
And I think you just have to make a more conscious effort to do that. And I'm not an advocate of throwing cell phones out or anything of that nature, but I do find that if I detox for a few days on a writing binge or something, that I feel better. You know, it's a form of discipline or exercise, just like anything else, that you have to take control of it.
And I have to tell you,
we live on Facebook, which is sort of a false sense that we're going places.
I get the sense you and I are very much the same age, that need to escape, to get away, you know, to get away from the cell phone, to put this down. I find, you know, someplace in the woods in a fire, right? Because there's a common denominator, your friends around the fire playing with sharp objects and lying to one another is a great time, you know, and one of my all-time favorite times, but we're so driven now, and we're so inundated all the time, we forgot that there's a joy in this world. And you somehow have been able to keep, I think, a larger percentage of joy in your life, in spite of the fact you've had your own personal challenges through life. You've focused on this, and you go out and meet people. You've become a sponge as well, and you keep soaking in all these other things and these common denominators. And then sharing them in such a way is that everybody can enjoy them once again. In a joyless world, you're an oasis, Pat.
Well, I feel particularly lucky. First of all, I enjoy the humor. I like telling jokes. I like making people laugh. But you're right. I actually become a conduit for the stories. You know, if this was a call-in radio show, I could tell you we'd get a dozen calls of how do you make 1-2-3 Jell-O, and what's the Action Jackson theme song, or what? Like,
right.
People really want to grab back onto that. I do a section in the. Do we have to go?
No. Well, then, let's just do this. What's your favorite? What was your favorite G.I. Joe then?
Well, you know, funny. We had sort of the low end. We had Big Jim or something. Like, my parents wouldn't buy a brand name G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Like, we were Hydrox kids, not Oreos. You know, we had the plain sodas. You know, we didn't have Coke. We had Shasta. So, I mean, try to get me. Here's the funny thing. By doing this show now, I can, like, legally go on eBay and buy, you know, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. All the stuff I didn't get as a kid.
Right.
I have in my own. My kids, of course, benefit from it until I say to them, you know, don't touch that. That's for Daddy's show, you know.
Right.
And, you know, but I was.
That's why I've got. That's why I've got a Les Paul sitting in my living room, Pat, because I couldn't have one when I was a kid. So I have one sitting in my living room. Sure, I can't play it, but I have a Les Paul.
You wanted that guitar all of your life, huh?
Yep, I did, and so I got it. I mean, because I'll bet you money right now. You saw the toy list, the nominees this year, the top 10 toy lists, and then they'll be voted on what goes in the Hall of Fame. And every time I look at that list, I'm going, "Oh, I remember that."
Right. Well, the toy I searched out once, you know, when eBay came, you know, into existence, that was like a heavenly place to find not only the thing you wanted, but in the condition you wanted and in the box if you wanted and all that. Because prior to that, when I was writing another show, prior to Wonder Bread Years, I had a show called Bunk Bed Brothers, which was about two adult brothers stuck in their childhood bedroom. I wanted to put stuff on the shelves that would get people, like, evoke a certain thing when they looked up and so forth. So the thing that I remembered as a kid that I had that I really wanted to find again, there was a thing called a time bomb, and it was sort of like the hot potato where you twisted the top of it, and it would tick and toss it around the room, and then it would go off in somebody's hands, and, you know, they got a point off or something.
Right.
But I just remember my brothers and I incessantly throwing this time bomb around. And I would go into thrift stores. I would go into antique shops. I would ask people about it. But then it came up, you know, at some point I could actually find it. And so it was really, really like an awesome quest that came true.
Right.
And that sits on my, you know, shelf today as a reminder of that I can't fly with it anymore, among other things.
That's right. We remember not being groped to get on a plane. We remember when there was a word called flying the friendly skies.
Right.
Right. You and I remember when Kentucky Fried Chicken, you got a chicken leg. It was the size of a chicken that would, like, grown up at Chernobyl. It was a Tyrannosaurus Rex leg, right? And the joy you could have at a Monopoly game and a box of Kentucky Fried Chicken and a cheap cream soda was a good time.
Right. That's funny, the cheap cream soda. We played a lot of that electric football on the metal, you know. They didn't really run to the end zone. They just settled in the low dip in the board, you know, where all the guys would fight over a fleck of felt or whatever that was a football, you know.
We actually did a Monday Night Football promotion. My friend John Carney from KTRS in St. Louis were working together at the time, and he says, no, we're going to take my old electronic football game, and we're going to go down to the bar for our remote. And I'm like, John, nobody cares. That was the center of the room.
That's hilarious. I love that. That's funny. Well, I try really hard, you know, with my kids. This summer we had a what we call a dive-in movie where we put a, you know, screen outside by the pool where we could all float and watch Jaws in the pool, at sundown and that sort of thing. So, you know, you find the adult version of whatever whimsy you have, and I do think it's valuable and important. And, you know, what we're going to do at the Marion Cultural Arts and Civic Center on Friday night is we're going to sort of open that up. You know, we're going to talk about riding in the country square wagon and, you know, having, like, your route for trick-or-treating was very important to get the maximum amount of candy.
That's right.
And how to avoid the chip houses and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I look back at that time, and I remember, first of all, parents didn't go with us, right? We ran pell-mell, you know, till midnight with pillowcases. And then suddenly, somewhere along the line, a razor blade was found in an apple or presumed to or something. And then now kids have to x-ray their candy or turn it into the authorities or take it to the airport. You know, it's just the innocence in some ways is gone of what was, you know, adventure and abandon and curiosity and all those things that I kind of try to reflect on.
Yeah.
But the kids today will have a different form of nostalgia, right? 20 years from now, they'll be talking about Minecraft and whatever video games, and they will have the same, that recipe will continue to work, right? And they're listening. If somebody hears us on the radio where you say, hey, we're the same age, they're thinking, listen to those two old guys on that park bench, right? Kids with your crazy hair and your loud music, right? That's what they're hearing us say.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, but Beastie Boys is playing on some oldie station right now, right?
Right.
Because everything sort of moves at the same pace, I guess. But I think there's a power in reflection, and I think there's a power in sharing laughter as a community and being in a place where you go, oh, we're going to be okay if we don't fall into the fear factor. You mentioned Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and that is where we are with many things. The news is so quick to report, you know, even before things happened, you know.
Yeah, we're all going to die every day, every minute, all the time, in this constant fight or flight mechanism that is working in most men and women across this country. Don't allow them to live the life they're enjoy the life they're experiencing. And that's why you should go tomorrow night, 7:30. That's the Marion Cultural Arts and Civic Center. It is a wonderful room, by the way. I just saw Dennis DeYoung there the other way, speaking of nostalgia and flashback. It was awesome. which was part of your and my childhood, right? We're 14 years old, and we're listening to Lorelei,
right there.
You know? I mean, great stuff. And that's tomorrow night, 7:30. Pat, by the way, you were highlight of my week, just so you know.
Oh, Tom, thank you. And if you, I hope you make it out tomorrow. If you do, stop and we'll shake hands and so forth, and maybe I'll give you some pop rocks or a candy necklace or something to take home to your loved ones there.
Oh, well, and I'll regale you with the story of my first cross-dressing in Halloween and falling down the stairs. I never cross-dressed again in public. So
you can't tell us now? You have to save that till tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to save that because it's so late in the show now. You understand. Pat Hazel.
I got it.